1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show today. We only have one veteran, one returning guest in Josh. And the last time we saw Josh, he was a single guy.
That's true, yeah.
It's exciting
big
stuff.
Big changes.
In fact, the last time we saw Josh, I asked Josh if he was dating anybody because I wanted to set Josh up with somebody. He was like, no, I'm not. And that worked out really, really well for him because joining him today is his lovely, brand new wife, Bree.
Fresh.
Yeah, heck yeah. Still has so that excited. New spouse smell, both of you do.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that
we've got Martin in the house and his lovely bride, nice. LaRue. Married, right? You are married.
Yes, okay. We are indeed married.
Fantastic. I thought so. I can't see ring fingers under
not
the desk.
There.
So good. Me too. This is great.
What do you know?
Last episode, everybody was single but me, and we were talking about male and female relationships. And I was like, this is applies vastly different. And I couldn't contribute as well, but this time we're all on the same page, which is super exciting. I'll make this my pre-show or pre-prayer fun fact. My fun fact for today is the fact that my wife is going to go into labor any second. With my sixth child, fifth daughter. So
wow.
I might get a text message and make your whole drive in today worth nothing. So I apologize in advance if that happens. But fingers crossed, and please pray for my bride and
my
baby, who will be here any day now. Yeah. So very excited. All right. Now, with that in mind, we got to pray. We got to start with a prayer, as we do all things. And it seems like Martin has been elected because he checks all the boxes.
So I'm told.
Byzantine, right? Is it Byzantine or are you Maronite? Okay. Byzantine. And LaRue was going to do it because she is both Byzantine, right, Catholic, and a convert. But then she explained to us that Martin was going to do it instead. And Martin seems game. So we're ready when you are, brother.
All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the day. We give you thanks for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that while we're not worthy of it, you deem us worthy to partake of your mysteries. You give us breath in our lungs. We thank you for this show and for the people who it may reach. We ask that you would soften our hearts and that we may speak you and also reflect you. And we give you thanks for John Henry and for his time and everything that he does for your kingdom. We ask you to bless this show, bless the people here, and our Holy Catholic Church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been told specifically by the powers that be that I'm supposed to stop grading prayers on air. So I'm not going to grade your prayer. But because you gave me a personal shout out, if I were to grade it, it would have been an A+. Hands down. I'm not giving you a grade, but if I did give grades, it'd be a 97. Right? So I appreciate it. I've never gotten a personal shout out before in a prayer.
I don't know if anybody's gotten a 97.
That's
a good score.
I'm like, and I don't like this about myself, but it's true. I'm like Donald Trump in that if you like me or say something nice about me, I just automatically like you. Like, I don't care if you're the dictator of some foreign country. Like, oh, you like me? Cool. I like you too. We're friends. Let's hang out.
So my grade's not DEI.
No,
thanks. Good to
know. But we do have a DEI program for Eastern Rite Catholic Churches, though, on the show to try to pump them up, right? Different intention, right? The idea is, like, let's spread awareness. I was having a great conversation with a group of college kids about Eastern Rite Catholic Churches the other day. Actually, no, they might have been in high school, but it was like a mind-blowing thing. And I was like, no, some priests who are just as much priest as your priest, they got wives and stuff. And like, no, disciplines first, doctrines, baby. Yeah, yeah. You go ahead and go hang out with those Maronites for a while, then become a priest, and that pretty little girlfriend, she can, you can marry her.
She'll
out.
Come along.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty. But you got to be married before, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. But you can't be a bishop.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, that's right.
I like that. I was talking to Father Lewis over at the Byzantine Church a while back, and he's not married, right? And he is a priest. So will never be married. And we were talking about that, and he had like. And I won't do it justice, so I won't even try, but the most awesome perspective on, like, his decision for celibacy, it was so cool. And this is, once again, I'm just going down a rabbit hole, but there was a time in my life when I was, 22, 23, I was newly married, and I was thinking, I could never be a priest. I don't understand how anybody could do that, right? You're giving up a wife, you're giving up kids, you're giving up sex, right? How are you doing this? And now I'm 36, and I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, I see, like, I have friends now who are, like, really good holy priests, and I realize, like, oh, I totally see, like, how you're being, like, you're so secure in that vocation. I think it was my own spiritual maturity at the time, immaturity at the time. But, yeah. All right, sorry. Enough about me. We got fun facts. You just owe us one, because you're a returning guest.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else owes us two.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Which one is the more fun of the two that I came up with? On our honeymoon, we found a sailboat underneath the Airbnb where we were staying. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I had to get it out because we had to go sailing. Like, if we have the opportunity to sail in the Caribbean, like, be the pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, yes.
Caribbean, sorry. I feel like if you're going to say Pirates of the Caribbean, you can't say Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, you can't. It's definitely Pirates of the Caribbean.
And she dressed up like Jack Sparrow, but that was supposed to be her fun fact.
Did she walk on
it too? I actually figured out how to put the boat together.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive.
Pretty cool, yeah. And then the fun fact was that at one point the main mast snapped, like the, not the mast, but the halyard? I think is the name of the line.
Sure.
Which, if I knew, if that's accurate, that's my new fun fact, is that I know the word halyard. But the line that holds up the mast broke, and I managed to restring it while we were still at sea, which I feel like is.
Do you have a background in sailing at all?
No.
Are you just good?
This
okay, that makes it better.
We watched YouTube videos
yeah,
to
we
figure
did.
Out well, how does this thing work.
I hope the way I've got a picture in my head is you're like actually on the boat on YouTube, like how to get back home while you're. This is cool.
Yeah,
that's a really good fun
adventure. We did capsize. Yeah.
We did capsize.
Great.
But we flipped the boat.
Yeah.
Back up. She didn't drown. So,
score. Yeah. That's like one of the key components to a successful honeymoon. Is both of you surviving the honeymoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
where did you go?
The Bahamas.
The heck yeah.
It was beautiful.
Eleuthera was the island. It was really cool.
That was good. That was like 18 fun
I
facts
know,
all in one.
Lot.
That was really good.
Yeah, I guess
did we leave anything
facts
for you, Brie?
Are not like that. I was going to say, I grew up fly fishing. I love fly fishing. My dad ties all of our flies. I've never. Bought a fly before.
Cool.
And I just love being outside.
Where'd you grow up?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, born and raised. I moved to Georgia like 6 or 7 years ago.
We just, my kids, my two oldest and I, just this summer, took a fly fishing course to start getting into it. I'm a big hunter and fisherman, but that was like the one thing. We live on like a state stocked trout stream in North Georgia.
Which stream?
And we've never done it. It's Long Swamp Creek.
Huh.
So it dumps into the Etowah. Right.
Cool. Okay.
And I was like, why aren't we taking advantage of this?
Yeah.
This is awesome. And so we've been getting into it lately. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just caught some browns and stuff like that.
That's
but it's
great.
Super fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There's
cool.
Nothing like that feeling of catching a trout.
Yeah.
Second thing is I also grew up going to the rodeo, and I won $50.
No, you didn't. What did you do?
Pulling a ribbon off the tail of a calf that I wrangled when I was like 11. They just send the kids into the ring, and they're like, "Catch one that has a ribbon. We'll give you $50."
And you did.
And I did it.
We have good friends of ours whose kid won the catching the grease pig contest, which was really cool. We do the rodeo usually once, sometimes twice a year. Like we love going to the rodeo up in Jasper, right? So it's small, right?
Yep.
Southeastern rodeo, but super fun.
That's so
fun. And grease pig is quite the he's got a plaque. The kid's like grown now. He's like an adult, but he has his like grease pig catching plaque.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
That
was pretty good. All right, what you got, Martin?
Sorry, all I can think about is a grease pig now.
I know, what?
Like, we should get a pig. A fun fact, let's see, I speak 3 languages, cool. And I infiltrated the Baptist church and stole one of theirs.
Whoa. One of their languages?
One of their languages?
Oh, one of their...
One of their women.
Well,
yeah.
We could go there. Yes, we did.
Which languages do you speak?
Yeah, what languages?
English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Ooh. Lo siento, pero no hablo español. Solo inglés, Martin.
It doesn't sound like...
You said it in Spanish, but with an Italian tone.
My friend, are you Portuguese?
No.
Brazilian?
No, I'm Mexican.
Okay, my buddy from college, like the guy who I lived with for all 4 years, he's in my wedding, he was a Brazilian guy, and so he spoke Spanish, Portuguese, English, and Italian. It was the coolest thing in the world.
That's crazy. That's the next one I want to learn.
Yeah, he's learning that.
I'm still working on English, dude. I think that's cool. All right, what about you, LaRue?
My first fun fact, I'm really into sourdough.
really into my sourdough.
I feel like that's like an obligation right now for white women in general. Like every single, that's just observational, right? My wife included, right? A lot of sourdough.
I got married and it was just, I felt this.
You have to.
I woke up in the middle of the night one night and I was like, I gotta make sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
And my second fun fact is I have my second degree in Christian studies from a Southern Baptist college.
Heck,
oh,
yeah. That's
Baptist.
Awesome, though. I mean,
that's fun.
My background is vaguely Baptist. I spent a lot of time shopping Baptist churches. As I said this off before we started the show, but like the Black Baptist churches, it was Black Baptist church, and then me. Sitting there in the middle, and I can clap on. It was the best. Once again, unfortunately, they were wrong about a lot of really important theological things. That being said, big shout out to the Baptists. We like the Baptists. We agree on way more than we disagree.
That's true.
Y'all should swim the Tiber. The water's fine. It's a great time. Everybody's doing it. So this is awesome, guys. I'm super excited about this curry. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess sort of big picture, right? The topic of today's episode is some version of how do you know that they're the one? And I want to start by going with the Father Mike video. All right, Father Mike has a great video on how do you know if they're the one. Have you guys ever seen his video?
Probably.
Well, what he says, how he starts the video is, I'm going to tell you right now, real easy, 10 seconds, how to know if they're the one. What you do is you hold up your left hand, and if they have a ring, if you have a ring on your finger, your left ring finger that they gave to you, and they have a ring on their left ring finger that you gave to them, then congratulations, you found the one.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I feel like we can go a little deeper into that. And so I want to start with a super cheesy question. And I think the guys ought to answer this, but the girls are welcome to chime in. Tell us about sort of how you met. How'd that go? Give us a little love story.
Let's
of
go, gentlemen.
Martin and LaRue and Josh and Bree.
So what were you doing at the Baptist church is what I wanted. Like, how did that happen?
Fishing.
That's right, fishing.
He also likes fishing.
Nice. For Baptists. Yeah,
exactly.
One Baptist.
Yeah, one Baptist.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, I guess I'll go first then.
Yeah, if
you want.
I was, just hanging out and about. But so my best friend, who was best man at my wedding, he was preaching, and I was at the moment I was in a relationship, very bad one. But he was like, "Hey, I'm actually preaching at my church tomorrow. Would you like to come?" And I was like, "Absolutely, I'd love to be there." So I show up, and that first day that I'm there, you know. Preached a great message. It was on discipleship. Shout out, Plant. The college pastor was, I was introduced to him, I became friends with him, and he was dating her.
Oh.
Whoa.
Were you Baptist at this point?
No. I've never been Baptist. I just kind of like, I grew up in a very ecumenical home. Mm-hmm. Like my parents, cradle Catholic, my parents were like, there's other Christians out there, and though they don't believe exactly right. You know, they still have some of the truth. And I'm like,
okay, good. Because this is something that I've done this multiple times on the show. Every time there's a Hispanic guy on my show who's was raised not Catholic, I always want to be like, dude, your great grandmother was somewhere with a rosary and an Our Lady of Guadalupe statue. Like, I'm from deep rural South Georgia. I got an excuse, brother. You did not. All right?
You're in trouble.
I was just trying to assimilate.
Yeah. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So you meet the pastor's girlfriend.
I met the pastor's girlfriend, and actually, she thought I didn't like her because. Out of respect for him, and just a lot of guys are funny and weird about that, and because I just like to stay away from the drama as much as I can, I go ahead and take the steps to like not leave room for confusion or anything.
Yeah, hey, that's good.
So every time I, I'd be like, "Hey, bro, what's up?" Give him a hug, give everybody a hug. When I came to her, I'd be like, "Hey, it's good to see you again."
Awesome.
And then months later, the day after I went for my friend's sermon, that day. It's like God was doing something because that girl that I was dating at the time, we broke up and never looked back. Mm-hmm. Like, end of communication, didn't talk anything after that. And I hate to say the cliche, I focused on myself.
Right.
But I really did. I grow my relationship with Christ. And then, how many months later? It's probably...
Did you guys start dating?
No, that we started.
It was a couple years later.
So that was like, okay, let's say that was in February of 21. Then... A couple years go by, and there's this festival thing that her church put on, and we kind of like served together. I I was going to both. I was going to Mass early, and then after that, I would shoot on over to the Baptist church.
Sure.
You know? And then, so there was this thing going on, and they asked me if I wanted to serve, and I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so she was there, and I was like, oh. And we just kind of stuck to each other the whole day.
Were you still dating the pastor?
Me and the pastor
this?
Broke up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Me and the pastor broke up.
Man, Martin.
They had broken up. They had broken up. And I wasn't like, it was her and one of her other friends. And I remember that day, she goes, yeah, I'd like to talk to you a bit more about your Catholic faith. I've got some questions about it. And I'm like, I knew what that translated was. Let me save you
right.
from your falsities.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And so
flirt to convert, baby.
Right. Yeah. On that.
Yeah, I was trying. Yeah.
Me,
Uno reverse card though.
Right.
Good job.
I was just trying to serve the Lord
by talking to the pretty girl.
And then we all went out in a group to like a late dinner at IHOP, and then
nice.
Kind of talked here and there through text. And on Sundays when I'd see her at her church, she used to lead worship there too. Mm-hmm. And then. I think it was like that day I was like, I felt uncomfortable because I was like, I think I like her. It was just weird. And then I think
it was a couple months later.
We kept hanging after that. We hung out in group like three or four of the times. And then after that, I was like, hey, you want to go grab coffee?
All right. And stop the story there because I want to hear it from them. But then I eventually want to get into the why you were like, all right, I'm going to marry this girl. Okay. All right. What about you, Josh?
God gifted us with a really cool story, I think, which I'm just so thankful for, because I'm prefacing it because it's great to like lead it off with just like we met in the confession line.
Great,
you
that's
know,
awesome.
It was at the UGA Catholic Center. It was I think July 13th. I think it was the 13th.
It's my wife's birthday.
Oh, hey, yeah. What do you know? Man, lots of coincidences. And it was 2022, so this was right before I started medical school. I had moved in and was like looking for a good place to go to confession, and it turned out that the times worked out the best over at the Catholic Center, and so I went over there.
Is that Father Michael?
Yeah.
I think he's the man. His eyes looking at your soul somehow.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Oh, man.
You got to focus on the feet.
Speaks to you. That's right.
That's
the secret.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the sandals.
Yeah. Yep. It's the Birkenstocks that you got to look at. So we met in the confession line, and it was a really interesting sort of meet cute because, let's see. How do I start it? I also met another friend at the same time. I met a friend named Chris D'Angelo, and he's a great guy. Shout out to Chris.
A lot of shout outs today.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, right? So I was talking to him, and Bree was talking to this guy who was in front of her in the line, and he was like newly back to the faith and had just come to confession after like kind of being away. And I think a lot of what kept him away was sort of an Eastern spirituality, and not in the sense of like the Byzantine Eastern, but in the sense of like Buddhism.
Sure.
I heard them. I had met Bree, like I like shook her hand because I'm like a very extroverted person, so I wanted to meet everybody in the confession line, of
right.
course, because that's where you meet.
Hey, what are you here for?
That's right. Yeah. What are you in for, huh?
What'd you do?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It makes for interesting conversations. And so had like. Met her, so it wasn't too awkward when I chimed in when I had heard him say something along the lines of, well, Buddhism and Catholicism, really, they're actually, like, super compatible. And so, of course, I had to share why I thought that we might want to temper that opinion.
I like
a little
bit. Idea of Bree just talking to this random guy and then another random guy being like, nuh-uh. that's awesome. Okay, cool.
That's,
good
that
to you,
is
by the
how
way. They're not compatible.
It's true, yeah. Yeah. And I'm one for considering ideas. So I thought, like, let's talk about this a little bit. And then that engaged me in conversation with you. And then after he went into confession, we chatted a little bit longer, talked a bit about her degree. She was studying industrial organizational psychology, getting her master's at UGA. So,
great.
Yeah,
that's,
cool.
That's a degree you can get, I
yes.
guess. Yeah, cool.
That's right. Yeah. It's one of those jobs that's out there that you can do. And I'm interested in psychology. I want to be a psychiatrist. And so I was like talking her up about that. Mentioning how we should get together sometime and talk about theology and psychology and what it's like being a Catholic in the field. But altogether, that conversation led to like a discussion about the fact that I was discerning whether or not to go into the military for a scholarship with medical school. And she said that she would pray for me. And I was really touched that evening because she sent a message through like the group me, because there's like a Catholic group me at UGA, and said something to me about like, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I was thinking about you. I know that seems like a heavy decision. So I was really touched by that, and I was like, okay, this beautiful woman like thought enough to like reach out to me. That's pretty awesome. And was like super looking forward to next time I saw her, but it turned out that that was like going to be several months. So I was kind of waiting around. Yeah, super lame, right? But she came to a couple of the Catholic beer club meetings there, so I'd gotten to chat a little bit more. And then it was in January that I like reached out. I was like, I just broke down. I'm like, I'm gonna send a text. Like, I don't want to ask her out via text. I'd rather do it in person, but here we are. So it wasn't even text. It was a GroupMe message. And then over the course of the next couple of months, I convinced her that like she should give me some the time of day, you know.
Did you say no initially when he asked you out?
We went on our first date, and the day after, like, it was awesome. It was an awesome first date.
Yeah, it was.
And the day after, I was like, I can't do this. Like, it was like one of those like stress moments. Yeah. And I sent him a text, and I was like, I'm not okay, you know? And then a week later, it was like, what are we doing? You want to get dinner?
Yeah. That's awesome. So she sent me a message basically like saying as much, and I was like, okay, all right, it's Lent right now. We can wait. We'll wait until Easter. Easter's a good time to like revisit this, you know? And then like saw her at Adoration a couple weeks later, and I was, it was just kind of all over. Cause it was funny. We had agreed to that. And then like we were chatting a little bit afterwards, and I was like, are you going to stay for the fish fry? And she's like, well, I don't really want fish. I'm like, you know, I don't really either. I was going to go make some curry at my house. You want to come over? Like it's just for dinner. Like we could chat a little bit more. And then we ended up talking for like 8 hours.
The rest is history.
And then here we are.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So this is sort of a big picture thing because it's interesting that we're sitting here, right? And were you Catholic when you all got married?
Yes.
You had come into the church, right? Well, I've done a number of these conversations. I teach a theology of the body class where we talk about a lot of this, like, who should you date and why should you date them? And one of the ones that comes up all the time is people who will say pretty strongly, and I've been one of them, it's like, don't date people who don't believe the fundamentals of the faith, right? So I would love to hear sort of y'all's heck no list, right, when you were out there, because y'all were, how old are you, Josh?
26.
And how old are you, Martin?
32.
Okay, so you guys were adults when you were dating and all of that stuff. What were sort of the criteria, assuming you understood what dating was for, which I assume you did, right? Your spouse shopping,
marriage.
Sort of, right? The idea is like we're seeing whether or not this is someone I can marry. What were some of the criteria for asking your asking these lovely ladies out? Or ladies, what were your criteria for saying yes to these gentlemen? I guess we'll let the ladies speak first.
Yeah.
Real, yeah.
Well, what initially comes to mind is I wanted to be with someone who really loved Jesus. Like, that sounds like such a cop-out answer.
That's the right answer.
But it's like, I mean, like, really excited, like, loves Jesus. And we'll talk about Jesus. And I don't know, just, I was a baby Catholic. I had a major reversion, and I was lapsed for like a decade. And so Josh didn't mention this, but that was only like my second or third confession, like coming back.
Since you came back?
Yeah. Whoa. It was a really big deal. Yeah. And I think at the time I was like, no relationships, please. Like, please nothing. Because I had been with someone for a long time who was not Catholic and actually very, very anti-Catholic. And I don't know, like, there was just so much for me. I was like falling in love with Jesus, and I just wanted somebody there, like, on my level and like really interested in the truth. And I had reached a point where I had gone from like all religion is the same to there is a truth, like there is an objective truth, and I want to be with somebody who's willing to be open to seeking the truth wholeheartedly, who's not just like, I don't know, this is the first answer I found and that seems like it's correct.
Right.
Or, you know, so I wanted somebody to be really intentional about seeking. So
that's beautiful.
That's what initially comes to mind, for sure.
What about you, Laura?
The biggest, I didn't have the best luck with relationships before meeting Martin. I had a pretty bad picker, is what my mom told me. So in the months before we dated is when I really started working on that. And the biggest thing for me that I realized was that I wanted to date a man that I would want my future son to be like, or
sure.
my future
oh,
daughter
that's
to
great.
Marry.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So that's
it's
that
really
for me
snippet.
Is really when I went through with him was, are you someone that I could see, I'd be happy if my daughter brought home or proud
yeah.
to call my son. And I found that in him and someone that really made me a better person as a baby Christian. Wasn't commanding of me, didn't force me to follow him and think he was the end-all be-all on information, but really would show me his faith and his ability to pray and lead me as the head of our household.
Were you, was it really you were trying to convert him away when you decided
100%.
You wanted, that's so
100%.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that story so much. I want to get into that next time, sort of or on the next segment, a little bit of the how that went. I guess sort of just, we got maybe 2 minutes before we have to go to break, but what was, I don't know, what were your sort of opinions of Catholics in general? What did you know, like, going in?
I'm scared.
And you have 90 seconds.
Yeah. I definitely did not consider Catholics to be Christians
Great.
In my Protestant walk, which is funny because I think Madeline McKeever has been on this podcast. Madeline?
Oh,
yes.
I love Madeline.
Her and I have been friends
awesome.
Since high school. She's
yeah.
the first person to share the gospel with me. When I was 14.
Did you grew up in Cleveland?
I did.
That's so cool.
I did, yes.
I've known her forever because she lived with Annie Glockner and a lot of the girls
yes.
who were in my youth group when they were in high school.
Yes, they're incredible. I love Madeline, and she's the first one to share the gospel, but I just did not have a great view of Catholics. And
wow.
Something I had to confess to when I joined the church was how much I spoke against. I was very open against speaking against the Catholic mm-hmm. Church and telling individuals whose parents were Catholic that their parents weren't real Christians and they needed to come to my Southern Baptist church to find the real Christ.
All right, so I want to say this, and I don't know how this is going to sound, but I'm going to throw it out there. I kind of like that. There seems to have been recently like a reawakening of anti-Catholicism amongst a lot of Protestants, and I kind of appreciate
it's
it. Fun. And here's what I mean, right? There was this guy a long time ago. You might have heard of him. He said, "Be either hot or cold, because of lukewarm I'm going to spew from my mouth." And I think that fire burning is really good in a world where we have all these non-denominational. Yeah, all
uh-huh.
Christians are this. It's all the same. It's not all the same. And you should if you are a professing Calvinist or a professing Baptist or whatever, you should think that I'm a heretic at the least and not even a Christian at the most, right? And you should say that to me. We should have these discussions. That's way better for the church
mm-hmm.
than the apathy, relativistic, modernist
oh, yeah.
gobbledygook, right? 100%. So that's cool. Did she actually try? Sorry, we've got like 30 seconds. But did she actually try, like, when y'all sat down?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cool.
Our first couple months of dating was us.
You were dating him, thinking that he was a
and
pagan.
And I disproved that with her Bible, it's missing books.
It is missing some books.
Yeah. Anytime she asked the question, I said, "Do you have your Bible so you don't say it's my Bible, it's changing stuff?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Great, I'll show you all the answers in your own Bible."
We were dating, we weren't like boyfriend, girlfriend. We were feeling out whether or not we wanted that relationship.
Going on a couple of dates.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. All right, well, I want to dig into all of that here in a second, but right now we do have to take a really quick break. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're going to just pick up right where we left off because we were saying off air, there's so much to talk about in here, and we got to get you guys back. Seriously, I know it's a little bit of a drive from Athens. And where are you guys?
We're not.
Oh, good. Well, we'll have you guys on tomorrow. That's perfect. I would love to dig in all of this again. I don't think we're going to get through half the stuff. But one thing, just sort of brass tacks that I want to talk about, I want to sort of open up with, is that discernment process, right? What does that look like? Because, like we said earlier, right, if we understand dating correctly, right? It is. It is you're discerning marriage with the person, or else you're wasting your time. Every single relationship you ever have is going to end one of two ways. You're either going to marry the person or you're going to break up, right? Those are your only two options, right? But what does that actually look like? Like throughout the relationship, right? You sit next to the pretty girl in confession, you interrupt her talking about Buddhism with a rando, and now you got a date, right? You steal the pretty girl from the pastor, and now you got a date with her. But how are you, because I would assume from date number one until, hey, will you marry me, right? Or really even until you say I do, right? There's a discernment process that's going on. What does that look like? How does that move forward? And I want to tie that into talking about this off air too, emotional chastity, because what you can't do is, once again, you're discerning marriage, you're not married, so you can't say, I like this girl, she's beautiful, she's good, I want to marry her, we're married, I'm treating her like we're married, I'm thinking of us as we're married. So how does that whole discernment process work? Just throw it out there, whoever wants to jump in.
I'm going to say, for us at least, or well, for me, I really can't speak for Martin on this, but for me specifically, the discernment process for me was in little steps, and our relationship took time to build. You know, we started as friends, we decided we wanted to be friends with each other, and then when we both realized we liked one another, we started discerning whether or not, well, for me at least, I discerned whether or not I deemed that he was someone that I'd want to date, that I could potentially see that future with. When I decided yes, then we dated, and through that whole dating process, I discerned, okay, is this someone that I could now see myself being married with, being engaged to? We got engaged, and even through the engagement process, I was still discerning. It didn't just automatically, oh, we're married now. And that's a huge struggle.
Yes.
Is that weird. I tell people all the time, I hated being engaged. It was horrible.
Awful.
It's the worst.
It was so bad.
Worst.
Well, from an emotional chastity and a physical chastity standpoint, it's the most difficult time in the entire relationship.
It is.
Yes.
It is. It's horrible. You're in this weird, you're not just dating, but he doesn't have the authority over me yet as a husband would. And it's horrible. And a lot of people, I think, stop discerning when they get engaged. And they just, they say, oh, we're engaged now, we got to run with it.
Because they're planning the wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're still not married. You have to still discern through everything, is this still the person that I want to spend my life with? You get one. You know, if you're Catholic. You're supposed to get one. So you still have to, through that whole process, discern. And the discernment ends once you get married. And then you're in the mindset of, okay, I'm locked in. I'm going to choose to love this person every single day of my life, no matter what happens. And I think that I definitely took mine in steps to figure it out. That's what worked for me.
Yeah, that's a great framing of it, because I think that that's something that gets forgotten, especially like the reason I was like, yeah, you're planning the wedding, is because there's that intensity of like, okay, we're engaged. Everyone expects us to get married. And if we don't get married, we've basically failed hugely, huge social faux pas, ruined this woman's life, and then like ruined my life. Like all it's all terrible. The whole world falls apart, even though it's not actually quite like that. That's how it feels. And so there's a strange, I heard the word liminal space yesterday, and I just like that word. I don't know if it really applies here, but it feels like a liminal space. Like you're existing between two things, and it's kind of, it's odd, and you only really understand it when you're actually like kind of in it, because
it's like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry.
I'm not as familiar as
whenever I hear liminal space, that's what comes into my head.
Yeah, well, like yesterday we were watching the game and we had it without ads. So every time there's an ad break, it was showing the field, but like no sound and nothing was going on.
Right.
Liminal space. engagement is like that.
That's a very good
analogy, yeah.
Because like you're not actually engaging in the game, right? You're not married, you're not living together, you're not having sex, you're not engaging emotionally in that like really deep sort of way that you only really should with your spouse. But you're also like tied to this person now in a way that seems inextricable.
Right.
So that was hard. That was really hard. I'd have a tough time coming up with exactly the right advice there, other than just like being very attentive to the fact that you're not yet married and that you need to continue to discern.
Well, more practically speaking, then, what are some big green flags along the way? We talk a lot about red flags, right? But what are some big green flags that you saw in one another as you were moving forward?
For sure.
So one thing that immediately came to mind with your last question and this question here is that knowledge begins in the senses, right? And I had some great spiritual direction with our priest, Father Tipton. He's great. And we talked a lot about, like, are you, and I don't want people to mishear me on this, so I might need to do some qualification, but or have your help with it. But it was like, are you attracted to him, number one? check? Okay, great. But it wasn't. It's not like a checklist of like, okay, he has to have this, he has to have that.
No, but people need to hear that because there's a lot of people who it makes total sense. Like, why this is a good. This is an objectively good person. This girl is objectively wonderful. This guy's objectively wonderful. But you do need to be attracted to him.
Yes.
That's an important piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a critical piece. And I think, but even beyond that, it continued because it was like, okay, do you still show up to see him? And like, before I saw Josh, if I knew I was going to see him, I would have butterflies. I'd be like, he's coming.
I feel that same way when I see that Josh is getting to be on the show. I get super excited.
But I would always be excited. And I still have that. I'm always excited. I'll check his location. I'm like, he's going to be home in 5 minutes. You know, and it's just like, you can listen to your body. And as like, woo-woo as that sounds, I was just trying to take note of what was physically happening. Mm-hmm. And that this was a train that was not going to stop. I wasn't going to stop going on dates with Josh. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like the desire, I recognized, okay, I have this desire and that's real.
Yeah.
So I think starting there, right. in discerning and like seeing in the other person is actually sensing. Like it starts with sensing. Right. It wasn't necessarily like, okay, what things does he have that are the green flag?
Theoretically, in the future, like, what will our marriage look like? Where are we going to live? And like all of these like pieces that are important, they can kind of distract from that.
Right. But yeah. I will say, I do think there are green flags. Like, you know, I'm not going to say that's not true, but...
He's got great hair, for instance.
That's true.
Sorry, I feel like I keep hitting on Josh.
Talk me up, by all means.
Martin, can you give me some green flags for the room?
I think that for me, it was easy. And I love that you said, or like practically speaking, because I feel like I'm emotional. I have emotions.
I really do.
No, I have emotions, but like, especially when it was in debt, especially after that horrible relationship I was in, I was like, okay, I'm going to approach this in the most pragmatic way ever. Mm-hmm. And understanding what dating was just really, it's such a crazy phenomenon because dating in the 30s is a euphemism for prostitution.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that. I taught a theology of body class to high school kids, and I told them that. They were like, what?
Dating in the 30s?
Yeah.
It was, you want to go on a date?
That was a term.
Yeah.
It
was a euphemism for prostitution.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so, but anyways, so there it's, while we don't have, the scriptures don't give us like a how to date. Mm-hmm. All of the scriptures kind of point us to how we can date. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as back as the Old Testament, Samson, he wasn't supposed to marry outside his kind, meaning, you know, who he was for us, what that means in the New Covenant is, well, if they're a Christian, don't date them.
Right.
That narrows it down a lot more. Mm-hmm. If you want to get deeper with it, well, if they're Catholic, you know, don't date them. If they're not Catholic, don't date them. Even narrower. And so I kind of took the scripture, all these things. One of my favorite scriptures, which, like a good Catholic, I couldn't point you to exact chapter and verse, but I think it's either 1st or 2nd Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy and talking about, don't let them look down on you because of how young you are. I'm paraphrasing. He said, instead, set an example in faith, purity, speech, conduct, and what was that last thing? And love, and how they love. And that was kind of my benchmark for when I started dating her. And I mean, I didn't have a, well, she's got to have a big butt. She's got to have, those are just so cringy. And so it was like, no, these things are like deep. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to get deep with it.
Yeah.
And so like, I saw how she treated other people in her, even though it was Catholic in her church, saw how she served in her church. Mm-hmm. I saw, how intentional we were about, I mean, we had a time where it was like, all right, it's this time, you got to leave. It's go time. And how it was easy. It was like, man, this isn't, like, it's work, relationship is work, but based on this benchmark, man, you're feeling all those things. And it became even more important in the engagement season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I teach a theology body class right now. Like I had a class on Friday, and it was one of my favorite days because I give them all this assignment where they're supposed to make a list. The guys and girls both make a list of 10 non-physical attributes that they find attractive in members of the opposite sex, and 10 non-physical attributes that they find unattractive in members of the opposite sex. And then I read them all. I don't say Martin likes girls who are nurturing and what. But what happens is they both make a list like. Across the board, I've been doing this. This is the 13th time I've given this assignment, right? And I do it once a semester. I teach one class a semester on theology of the body to these kids. And every single time, all the girls, and there's a couple of, you know, weird ones in there about some, you know, most like the Crimson Tide or whatever, right? But but every time the girls list what an authentically masculine, virtuous man looks like, and the boys list what an authentically feminine, virtuous woman looks like. And then the unattractive ones are, to a T, everything that, quote-unquote, the world is telling you to be. And I do that so that they can sit there and say, oh, my gosh, all these pretty girls, all these handsome guys in my class, they really want the person that I really want to be deep down, but I've been lied to since I was, you know, 6 years old about what that looks like, and now I've been trying to be this person that I don't want to be and nobody wants me to be. Right. And it's I don't know, it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite things that I do.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
So, that was actually one of my green flags with Josh, is that I was becoming more feminine. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, like, wild outside. All my cousins were boys. Like, you know, not to be, like, that girl, but, you know, it was just different. Like, I didn't go get my nails done. I didn't like having my nails done. I never
had, your nails look lovely today.
They look a little, like, I do some hard labor around the house, maybe. I don't know. But so I think one of the signs for me, actually, was that I was opening. I was softening. I felt my heart soften with Josh, and it was just a complete shift. It was incredible. Yeah.
It was really a beautiful thing to see too.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It was the same thing for me with Martin. I was always kind of raised, I have a great family. My family's incredible. They're not Catholic, but I was always kind of raised as being a girl boss. You know, you can get into the world and you can work and you can do whatever you want to do. You can travel, like, and it came from a very loving spot.
Sure.
It's a great thing, I think, to teach your kids that they can do whatever they want. But I kind of grew up with this idea of, you know, I'm going to be a girl boss and I have to be in control of everything. Mm-hmm. And in relationships, I was always the one to lead. I was always the one to have to almost mother these men that I were dating. And it was super unattractive. Yeah. Like, I hated it. And with Martin, I think I tried one time to do something like that with him, and he cut it off and was like, hey, I'm the
go
man.
Martin.
Like, that's not your responsibility. You have to trust me in this, and that's what's going to happen. And I fell into this place of, oh, okay, I get to follow. This is awesome. Cool. And it's since then been really easy for me to follow him. And I actually hate making decisions now. I used to really like him. And now I'm like, I don't want to pick where we go to eat. You just tell me what I'm ordering and I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Same. Sometimes I'll even ask Josh. I'm worried this is going to sound so toxic to some people. But people will ask me a question like, oh, do you, what do you want to do? This or that thing. And I'll turn to Josh and go, what do I want to do? Because I just trust him so much. And sometimes Josh makes better, more loving decisions for me than I would make for myself, because I don't always love myself perfectly.
And I do want to clarify, right? Because there is a strain of sort of machismo, manistry, or grossness. The reason you're saying that about Martin and the reason you're saying that about Josh is because, I would assume, don't let me put words in your mouth, but like you said, you trust him because he's a virtuous man who has died to himself for your sake through the covenant of marriage.
100%. Yes.
So, guys, that does not mean you get to be the jerk throwing your weight around.
No, absolutely not.
Josh is not, like, lording his power over me.
Oh, that'll destroy it, too.
No,
Because it will betray the very thing that it's supposed to be.
And I also think it would actually push me into a masculine version of myself.
Yeah, butting heads.
So. Right. But that is rightly ordered. That's the way that this whole thing is designed, right? Gentlemen, right? You're ontologically, by your nature, the head of your household, right?
Yeah.
I was having a conversation the other day with a group of dads about this, and I said, because a lot of times you'll see these houses where dad is not the faith leader of the house. Yeah. He's not taking on that role as spiritual head of the house. And what that means, that does not mean that the wife is now the spiritual head of the house. It means that the spiritual head of the household sucks.
Yeah.
It means, like, you've got a really bad, broken head of the household.
Oh, man.
And this poor mom who's trying desperately to drag her children and her husband along towards Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It's disordered.
Yeah.
That's not an attack on femininity. It's just the rightly ordered structure that we were given by God.
Right.
And it's beautiful when it works the way it's supposed to.
It's crazy how, like, as a man, I remember thinking right before we got married, like, I started thinking, man, like, I'm not taking care of just myself now.
Right.
Now I have to worry about someone else and all these bills.
Big.
And it was still kind of, like, nerve-wracking, but at the same time, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, that's right. I got to take it on.
That's great.
Provide it. Yeah. Can I comment on that
please,
just briefly?
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to say something is because I had a friend ask me, so what surprised you the most getting married? And I was trying to come up with something like, oh, you know, something fun and quippy. And I realized that, like, the thing that surprised me the most out of anything about being married just these last few months is just how true the truths that I've been told actually are, and specifically how much the man like absolutely has to take responsibility, and like genuine responsibility. Because I think that like we talk about like Spider-Man, like with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like it's true. Like if you have the opportunity to be a leader, that means that you also have to take extreme ownership of like what has to happen, and that's hard and intense, but it's also like just very, very true.
Right.
And I mean, it's kind of weird to say like I was surprised by something I already knew, but I think I was surprised just to find how true it was. So
that's awesome. No, 100%. This is sort of follows into all of this, right? So you're dating. All I want to do is ask you about your conversion story.
That's a different
roundabout thing, and we'll spend the rest of the episode on. So I'm going to try to hold off.
One day.
How did you guys talk to one another about marriage? Because obviously that's a conversation you're having, right? As you're dating longer and longer, and at first it's sort of the elephant in the room, and then like how do you broach that, and how do you continue to have that conversation?
I feel like I had an unfair advantage because her coming from a Baptist, specifically Baptist dating realm,
right?
You know, especially in the Baptist church, it's very much like you date intentionally,
right?
And so there was always that, and it's just like, hey, if we're dating, obviously it's not for craps and giggles, right?
Gits and shiggles.
She actually, it was great. The way that she brought it, she's the one that brought it up, and it was perfect, because I was like, you know, how am I going to touch that subject when it comes? Because I don't want to waste time. She brought it up great. She's like, hey, you know, if we're dating and we're going to get serious, I just want you to know, I don't want to baptize babies. And
that's a nice sprinkle that into the conversation.
I was like, great, that is perfect. Bring it on. And I think she was kind of like shook that I wasn't like, whoa, like hold on to babies. But that was kind of like what was able to bring us to that conversation and say, so these are my intentions, these are your intentions. All right, we're on the same page. All right, let's keep going.
We're already bringing up potential babies, so that's kind of the door a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Our story is definitely a little different, I think, just because I was at the time Protestant, and it kind of put us in a position where if we were going to date, we had to talk about if we are dating and if we do get married, what's going to happen.
Right.
And it was a huge discernment process before we were officially dating for us, just because neither one of us wanted to waste our time. I wasn't going to go dating him just for us to get to, you know, an engagement point or a point where we've been together for a long time and him say, hey, well, our kids are going to be raised Catholic. And I say, well, I want my kids to be raised outside of the sanctuary, actually doing coloring books while I'm in church.
Right.
And I think that's part of the emotional chastity.
Yeah.
That we kind of subconsciously were thinking like, I like you, I love spending time with you, but if ultimately this is not going to go anywhere because of this one thing, that why are we, you know, let's just go ahead and save each other time.
And I don't want to see that ground to the Protestants, right? For the record, Catholics should be having those same conversations about dating intentionally too.
Well, actually, immediately when you said that was like, I was like, oh yeah, there's our answer to this question, because it got raised, like the topic of marriage got raised basically because we were talking about men and women and relationships, right? I feel like that's kind of how we really like started to open that conversation up, was like, what should a relationship between a man and woman look like? And as we talked about that, we started to talk a little bit more about like, okay, what does marriage look like? What do like, how do you raise kids, and how should you raise kids as a husband and wife? And it was those questions about like, what do you actually do in a married life together that then like raised it like, okay, now how about us? Like, are we gonna move forward with this?
Also, Josh was very much like, just so you know, if enough time goes by, I will be asking questions if you know what I mean.
I'm not just
hanging out.
He was
like, I'm not going to mess around.
Yeah.
So.
My wife, we were in college, so we were young, right? We started dating when we were 19, I think.
Nice.
And, well, she was a year ahead of me. She's a year older than I was, and she was going to graduate, and I was going to be a senior. So, like, it's the end of my junior year. I guess middle of my junior year. She's a senior, right? And she's going to graduate next year. And my wife is very meek and traditionally feminine and just beautiful. And sort of, she's passive. She's not like a in your face, what are you doing kind of person. She never has been. But I remembered like so clearly in my mind, her looking at me one day and saying, hey, John Henry, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. And so I'm thinking about applying to these colleges, but I need somebody to let me know what I'm going to do next year. Because if I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going to go find somebody at one of these colleges who's going to be able to tell me what I'm going to do next year. I was like, like that the meme from The Hangover, seeing all the numbers in my head, and being like, okay, great, cool. And I tried to like ease out of that. And then I called my mom and asked about how you bought engagement rings later that night.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. That's lovely.
So it worked out.
That's
so sweet.
That's so cute.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's cool. That's really cool. I want to do... Yeah, let's do this. I'm just going to float... I'm just going to throw a term out there.
Oh, boy.
A term that we hear around Father's Day a lot that we talked about briefly. And I want to hear Martin and Josh's take on it. in my experience, most Father's Day homilies... The priest gets up there and says a bunch of lame stuff to the dads that we're going to summarize with the term that we've all heard in Mass, unfortunately, which is, remember, guys, happy wife, happy life.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to hear your take on it. It sounded like there were some hot ones.
I disagree. I hate that. It's cringy. One of the things that, you know, from that Matt Fred's short that I saw was, you know, makes it like a pet. What was it? A pestilent child that needs to be placated.
Right.
That's perfectly said. But on top of that, what he said after that was, and she alluded to it earlier in the show, I'm not afraid to tell you no, even though I know my wife is not necessarily going to like my idea or like what I decide. I don't want to. Wife that I have to walk around eggshells with and can't be myself. That's part of being like. I mean, if you don't have that in a marriage, I've got some questions.
Yeah,
because like, what do you do in the times of where I mean, you're both in the fire,
right?
Yeah, you got to lock in. Right. You got to stand on business. You
know what I mean? I think it says that in the catechism. Actually, you got to stand on business.
With the CC, No, but yeah. So like. That being able to, that I feel like that gives me room to be the man.
Yeah.
And in a non-machismo way, right?
Right.
Just to be like, because I love her, there's certain times that I have to say no to certain things for the both of us, not just for her, just for me included.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So.
I'm with you. Yeah. It the only way that you're able to lead is if you can say yes and no and have yes mean yes and no mean no. Mm-hmm. And that means sometimes you're going to make the people you're leading less than happy with you, and the hope is that you can lead them into it, and that they'll be that they'll understand why you're making that decision, and so there will be like a mutual understanding, and you can be moving together. But that's not always going to happen. It's just not like that. There will always be some degree of disagreement, and also like it doesn't even necessarily mean that there has to be like any sort of fighting or hard feelings. It can also just be something where like your wife wants something that might otherwise be good, but it doesn't seem to actually be good in these circumstances. And being able to say no is part of like the you're mortifying your wife and yourself, and you're also how do I put it, like you're building virtue in that you're able to like say to somebody you care about, who you want their affection more than anything else in the world, you're able to say something that is true, that you like really are convicted is true, and like and trying to lead them toward the good, despite the fact that they might not like that, and they might be upset with you as a result of that, and they might withhold affection, and they might be like frustrated with you, and it might cause a whole fight. You're still like holding by the truth, holding by what you believe is good. And that's like something that's going to build tremendous virtue and bring about like so many graces. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we can't be wrong, right? And like we got to be open to our wives and what they
say,
because they're going to have insights into things we won't understand. But like happy wife, happy life. Ugh, it's just gross.
Yeah,
it makes it's also demeaning to women.
It is
like you're saying. Like it makes them into a petulant child,
almost like a. They're there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right.
So anyhow.
No, that was great. And we are running out of time. We got about a minute and a half left. But one thing I wanted to finish with is something that you mentioned off air, which was the idea of marriage being a species of friendship.
Oh yeah.
Can you dig into that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I heard you guys were talking last week about can men and women be friends? And the answer is yes. Men and women can be friends, because what is a friendship? Okay. There's some question about that. Well, the answer is yes. Men and women can be friends because, like...
Maybe a hot take.
Right? Yeah, I guess so. I got to see how much I can fit into a minute. Friendship is something... friendship is a thing that can be had between persons, right? And it can be had between any persons, right? So mm-hmm. God has friendship within himself. The angels have friendship. We have friendship because friendship is a mutual appreciation and love of the other, desire for some form of unity between mm-hmm. one another. And also, like, simultaneous to that, the unity is founded upon a perceived good that you're both pursuing together, right? So if friendship is that, then that means that marriage is like kind of the fulfillment of friendship mm-hmm. because you are both seeking after the same goods together through a unified, like, deep, deep unity of life and a mutual understanding of what is good and what is to be sought in life. So
that was the most beautifully concise. That was really good. I was impressed. Oh, I was like, in a minute. All right, guys, this was fantastic. Once again, I wish we had an hour, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for being here, guys. Big shout out big recommendation to everybody out there. Find somebody and marry them. Right? If you're patient, marriage is the best thing in the world.
You have more kids than you can afford.
Exactly. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of the Quest Atlantis Catholic Radio. Signing off.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.